podcast in no way associated with NPR and brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
Stormy Daniels, because sex with Donald Trump is too gross to only be worth $130,000.
Your happy place, that warm, safe space in the recess of your mind, because Donald Trump dick pics are coming and you're gonna need it.
And Blind Stinking Drunk brand whiskey, because Donald Trump dick pics are coming and the happy place trick doesn't always work.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and our voices lack in decibels what Donald Trump's penis lacks in inches.
In ironic news, Alexander Nix, the CEO of Cambridge Analytica, the data firm most famous for working on the Trump campaign, was entrapped into confessing that his company uses secret recordings and entrapment while he was being secretly recorded.
We secretly recorded conversations with idiots who were too stupid to know we were recording their conversations. Can you imagine someone being that stupid? That'd be like if you were secretly recording this conversation and I was so stupid that I didn't realize it was being secretly recorded, so I went on blathering on and on about how we secretly recorded conversations and then we used the secret recordings in those conversations to damage people whose conversations were secretly recording, and then you used the secret recording of this conversation as evidence that I secretly recorded conversations. That would make me look so stupid.
In recordings, Mr. Nix also admits to using bribes and prostitutes to help his clients win elections. Because in Trump's presidency, bribes and prostitutes are your only escape from bigotry and incompetence.
I've always wanted to have sex with a political candidate, which I'm totally not just saying because I'm being paid to. I want you to do me. And while you're doing me, I want you to look directly into that mirror, which is totally not a two-way mirror. And then I want you to clearly state your name and political affiliation.
News of the entrapment comes on the heels of allegations that Cambridge Analytica illegally harvested the personal information of 50 million Facebook users. Facebook released a long-winded statement, essentially denying responsibility.
Facebook is in no way responsible for anything that happens on Facebook. Facebook was founded by a shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douche with a limitless sense of entitlement to provide a platform for shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douches with a limitless sense of entitlement. As a company by shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douches with a limitless sense of entitlement, for shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douches with a limitless sense of entitlement, Facebook asserts the privilege of shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douches with a limitless sense of entitlement to reap all of the profits from our shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douches with a limitless sense of entitlement company without being held responsible for any of our shallow, vindictive, narcissistic douche with a limitless sense of entitlement behavior.
In retaliation for Facebook's involvement in the data breach, grassroots organizations are organizing a Facebook boycott.
I quit Facebook. I'm starting a campaign to get other people to boycott Facebook, but unfortunately, it's become almost impossible to organize people without using Facebook.
You could use MySpace.
Shut up, Tom from MySpace. You had your 15 minutes.
I've always wanted to have sex with a boycott organizer. I want you to do me. And after you do me, I want you to reopen your Facebook account and end your silly little Facebook boycott.
Breaking news, lonely boycott organizer calls for an end to his, quote, silly little Facebook boycott.
The news of Cambridge Analytica's illegal data harvesting may have implications in the ongoing Trump-Russia investigation. The fact that Russia stole and disseminated Democrats' private information and implemented a targeted misinformation campaign on social media is well known. However, there has long been an outstanding question as to how Russian agents were able to successfully target and mobilize specific voters in specific geographical regions in order to affect the outcome of the Electoral College results. Cooperation between Russia and Cambridge Analytica would explain the ability of Russia to implement such a precise attack targeting American voters with specific precision.
I've always wanted to have sex with a parody podcast host.
Oh, for Christ's sake!
I want you to do me, and after you do me, I want you to report that Cambridge Analytica's collection of specific voter data and the Russian government's exploitation of specific voter data is purely coincidental.
2 hours later...
Bullshit! 2 minutes later.
Whatever.
Cambridge Analytica's collection of specific voter data and the Russian government's exploitation of specific voter data is purely coincidental.
If you believe that, you probably believe that the prostitute was actually into you.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee State Representative Democrat John Ray Clemens' resolution condemning white nationalists and neo-Nazis was rejected by the House State Government Subcommittee when none of the Republicans that make up the rest of the subcommittee would second his motion.
After 36 seconds in which subcommittee Republicans said nothing, State Representative Bill Sanderson gaveled the resolution dead.
According to the news outlet The Tennessean, after his anti-Nazi resolution was gaveled dead, Clemens was immediately granted a second in an unrelated motion to discuss studying government contracts.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained audio from the subcommittee session.
Who wants to second my resolution condemning Nazis and prosecuting white supremacist acts of terrorism with the same vigor as all other acts of terrorism? Oh, seriously. Nobody? Condemning Nazis. Any takers? Just to be clear, the word condemn means bad. Nazis are bad. So all I'm asking for is someone to just agree that Nazis are bad. Now, just to be clear, Nazis were led by Hitler and committed the Holocaust. That's the Holocaust. As in, out of all the Holocausts, this particular Holocaust was so bad that it's known as the Holocaust. Anybody willing to go out on a limb and agree with me that that's bad? No? Okay. Just to be clear, bad is the opposite of good. All I'm saying is that the Nazis were not good. So, y'all just gonna act like I'm not talking? You know I can see you, right? Now, don't act like you're not doing work, Bill. I see you playing Candy Crush.
Let's talk about contracts.
In an effort to distance themselves from their own refusal to publicly discuss Nazi badness, Tennessee Republicans are trying to blame Democrats, saying the legislation was, quote, a trap written to embarrass them.
Not supporting anti-Nazi legislation is embarrassing. By proposing anti-Nazi legislation that is embarrassing not to support, the Democrats trapped us with the embarrassment of not supporting legislation that is embarrassing not to support.
Y'all could have just supported my resolution.
Help! I'm caught in a trap!
I'll save you!
Thank God! It's House Republican Caucus Chairman Ryan Williams.
I'll spring you from this Democrat trap with condescending pseudo-procedural nonsense.
The following is a direct quote from Chairman Williams.
Part of being a great legislator is knowing your bill, knowing the committee that it's going through, working the vote and asking for a motion in a second before you get there. That's what policy making is. It's pretty simple.
I don't think I need to work the vote to condemn Nazis.
Hell, I'm caught in a trap!
We'll never get out of this Democrat trap.
Just condemn neo-Nazis.
It's not fair. The Democrats are trying to portray us as pro-Nazi.
But I'm offering you a chance to publicly declare you are anti-Nazi.
We're not pro-Nazi. We're just anti-anti-Nazi.
It's Obama's fault. When Obama got elected, it activated the embarrassing racist element of our voter base.
Thanks, Obama.
We wanted to condemn them, but we needed their votes.
Thanks, Obama.
Then they got Trump elected, and now the very racist tail is wagging the somewhat prejudiced dog.
It's working. Blaming Obama is resonating with our supporters. If we can just keep portraying the racism against him as somehow his fault, we might be able to break free of this trap.
Thanks, Obama.
Father Edward Staniak, a prominent Catholic priest in Krakow, Poland, prayed for the quick death of Pope Francis during his homily last Sunday, citing his disagreement with the Pope's liberal views on divorce, immigration, and Islam. Father Staniak's death prayer raises several legal, moral, and theological questions.
Like, if you believe in the power of prayer, does praying for someone's death count as a legal death threat?
If the Pope outranks the priest, but God outranks the Pope, is praying to God to harm the Pope like filing a complaint with your boss's boss?
And why is Father Staniak such a dick?
For a deeper understanding of these questions, Barely Audible Whisper prayed for a report to be filed through the divine intervention of God.
And when that didn't work, we sent a reporter to Poland.
Krakow, Poland was the birthplace of the Pope just two short popes ago. But now the once proud home of two popes ago Pope is the center of a death prayer controversy aimed at the Catholic Church's first Latino Pope.
Dear Lord, Please protect us from these immigrants who are stealing our Pope jobs.
Father Staniak is yet again praying to his God against the Pope.
Lord, in your infinite wisdom and xenophobia, please bless Pope Francis with the Islamophobia that you have blessed me with. Show him, O Lord, that Muslims are wicked sinners who kill all those who disagree with them, or strike him dead for disagreeing with me.
The irony of Father Staniak's prayer is lost on him due to his belief in the inherent sinfulness of irony recognition.
There is irony in the story of Adam and Eve, and that led to man's original sin.
Eating the apple?
No, recognizing the irony.
Father, do you really believe that you can pray someone to death?
Jesus said, "When you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites pray. Instead, pray like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction."
That is beyond inaccurate.
Dear Lord, in your infinite mercy, please smite this smug reporter dead.
But Father, according to Catholic hierarchy, the Pope is the head of the Church. Isn't praying for the death of the head of Catholicism a form of heresy?
I suppose I could explain it to you while we wait for the Lord to smite you.
Thanks?
Prayer is used in different ways by different people. Some people pray for guidance or wisdom. Those people are wrong, and God should smite them. I use prayer as a way of asking God to smite my enemies.
Smiting seems to be a big thing with you.
I have a lot of enemies. I request a lot of smiting.
Why do you think you have so many enemies?
Because I'm a bad person. Dear God, help me. I am a sinner. It is I who deserve to be smote.
Does this mean you've had a change of heart?
No, this is just standard Catholic guilt. A couple of beats of self-flagellation and then it's right back to being judgmental.
In a bizarre story out of Romania, Constantin Riliu, a 63-year-old alive man who has errantly issued a government death certificate, has failed to convince a Romanian court to revoke his death certificate despite not being dead because the appeal period for changing a death certificate had expired.
In other words, he's dead because he missed the deadline.
Due to an expired visa, Mr. Riliu was deported from Turkey, where he has lived since 1992. Upon returning to Romania, he discovered that his wife, who he hadn't spoken to since the 90s when he discovered she was cheating on him, had obtained a death certificate for him because she assumed he died in an earthquake.
That's a weird thing to assume.
The decision by the court to uphold his death certificate is considered final, and because he is legally dead, he has no legal standing to appeal the ruling.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained the following recording of Riliu's court proceedings, which are conveniently in unaccented English.
This court will now hear arguments in the case of the people versus that scene from Monty Python, where they argue about whether or not something is dead.
Which scene are you referring to, Your Honor?
Whichever one comes to mind. They use that joke a lot.
Your Honor, I will be representing myself, because I'm told being legally dead means that I do not have a legal right to an attorney.
That is flawless logic.
Your Honor, I cannot get a job because no one will hire me due to the fact that I'm legally dead. I need this death certificate overturned in order to make a living.
Being dead is preventing him from making a living.
Who said that?
That's my bitch wife, Your Honor. She finds this hilarious.
The whole thing just kills me. I mean, technically, it kills him.
A snare drum and a cymbal are highly unusual for a courtroom, but objectively, they are hilarious. I'll allow them.
With all due respect, this is not funny. We're talking about my livelihood.
Livelihood. It's funny because you're dead.
She's the reason there's the death certificate for me. I stopped talking to her because she was cheating on me, and then she claims she thought I died in an earthquake for some reason.
I read about an earthquake in Turkey. You lived in Turkey, so I assumed you died in an earthquake in Turkey.
That is flawless logic.
But I am clearly alive.
You say you are alive, but this certificate certifies that you are dead, which is why they call it a death certificate.
But I'm certifying that I'm alive.
You are not authorized to certify your own aliveness. Only a certified certificate is certified as certification.
But
the root word of certificate is certify, which sounds like certain. Therefore, anything certified in a certificate is certain.
That is flawless logic.
Ipso facto, hitherto and henceforth, I hereby declare you dead.
So, I'm legally a ghost?
Oh, my darling, I've hungered for your touch. It's from Ghost, do you get it? I need your love. Godspeed your love to me.
President Trump has been behaving more erratically than even the erratic behavior we have come to expect from President Trump's trademark erratic behavior.
It's like watching a rabid dog contract additional rabies.
While concerned citizens have become even more concerned over the erratic president's even more erratic behavior, idiotic Trump supporters have become idiotically more supportive of their idiot-in-chief's idiotic behavior.
It's like watching rabid dogs contract additional rabies.
According to the New York Times, a source close to the president said Trump feels as though he has finally been freed from his cage.
It's like watching a rabid dog reference Maya Angelou.
With apologies to the legacy of Maya Angelou, fans of Maya Angelou, and all decent human beings, Barely Audible Whisper presents Donald Trump reading selected quotations from I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by May A. Angeljew. The caged bird sings with fearful trill of things unknown, but longed for still, and his tune is heard of the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom.
Mr. President, even I, Stephen Miller, think your quoting Maya Angelou is tasteless and offensive, and I'm the most racist advisor you have.
Wrong. I am the best reader of Mayonnaise, Avian Flu.
It's Maya Angelou.
Are you disagreeing with me?
No, sir. No, I would never disagree with a man of your most tremendous intellect.
I do have a tremendous intellect. You must have a tremendous, but not as tremendous as mine, intellect to recognize the tremendousness of my most tremendousest intellect. I am promoting you to King of Puerto Rico.
I just think that comparing your existence of feeling caged in by the institution of the presidency to the noble struggles of Maya Angelou against oppression may be perceived as insensitive to the black community.
Fake news! Black unemployment is at an all-time low. Why doesn't Magpie Angel Food Cake write about that, huh?
Because Maya Angelou's dead.
Being dead is a Democrat excuse. I am hearing many great things about Frederick Douglass.
I just think this is a bad idea from a PR perspective.
So you are disagreeing with me?
I hate to say it, but on this particular issue, I do.
Check my Twitter page.
Stephen Miller is a great guy, ! But due to disagreement about pandering to the blacks, I am firing him as King of Puerto Rico, ! Sad, ! Frowny face emoji. Did you just fire me via Twitter while I'm standing right in front of you?
No, you fired yourself by saying words in a voice.
What?
To quote MAGA Skip to My Lou, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes a human voice to infuse them with shades of deeper meaning.
That isn't what that means. I never thought I'd say this to anyone ever, but you are too racist.
Now that he is gone, I can continue to misappropriate the work of my doll, Antique Pooh. Don't worry, cause you ain't pretty. Plenty pretty women I seen digging ditches, or worse, you smart. I swear to God, I'd rather you have a good mind than a cute behind. I hate everything about that. Stephen Miller was right. Mammy Jigaboo is the worst.
Barely Audible Whisper sincerely apologizes for what we just did there. Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper. We apologize once again to Maya Angelou, fans of Maya Angelou, and all humanity for what we did to Maya Angelou. Barely Audible Whisper is made possible by the following very real people. Writer and co-host, Dave Baldwin. Co-host and actress, Molly Brown. Actors, Tommy Stark, Robin Ward, and Corey Burns. And none of this would be possible without the wonderful work of the wonderful Joshy Newkirk, our producer and sound engineer. Please like us on your social media places, follow us on your Twitter, and subscribe to us at your podcast subscribing type functions. Thank you.